Hello, everyone. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Welcome back to the Thought Bubble Podcast. My name is Laura Swanson, MSW, and we are here today to talk about all things social work, mental health, and everything in between. If you are new to the Thought Bubble Podcast, please feel free to share, like, and listen to all my previous episodes. Now that I've finally gotten used to work and I'm out of grad school and everything is kind of situated, these will be more consistent, so you can anticipate a podcast episode every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also find me on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everything. Everything is out there for you. So feel free to listen anywhere you want. Today we're going to be diving into a pretty interesting topic and one that is pretty personal. I think something that is important to talk about is being social workers and therapists with mental health concerns. I am a therapist. I currently work as a psychotherapist in outpatient mental health. I have my master's of social work. And something that has been an interesting situation for me to navigate is working with my clients when I also see my own therapist. So I actually go to therapy every single week, and I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, unrelated to the work. I know there are some social workers out there and therapists who are diagnosed with PTSD as a result of the work. My diagnosis was an event that happened while I was in undergrad, but before I really got into the nitty-gritty of the profession. And I think that is a very important thing to talk about, because just because you're a social worker and a therapist does not mean that you are immune to mental illness, does not mean that you are immune to trauma. If anything, I think it maybe makes it more difficult, which I think sounds kind of strange, but that was my struggle at first. Was after this event occurred, I knew subconsciously that I had PTSD. I saw my behavior, you know, I studied the DSM-5, I saw the criteria, I knew what I was dealing with, but there was some part of me that absolutely refused to deal with it and to accept it as true. I think maybe in my mind I was thinking, you know what, I'm a therapist, I'm a social worker, I help people through this, I don't experience it myself, which I knew was false, you know, I know those things, but that kind of thinking isn't exactly rational, right? Something that has been a very interesting experience for me so far is working with clients as a therapist who also have post-traumatic stress disorder. I think that is perhaps one of the reasons I was very apprehensive about starting therapy for myself and receiving treatment, because at first that also meant I had to accept that I was also dealing with something, that I was working through my own trauma while helping others work through theirs. And before we get into what that looked like for me, I want to talk a little bit about self-disclosure and what that looks like in this kind of situation. I've gotten into a lot of different discussions in grad school and undergrad about what self-disclosure looks like, all that stuff. In terms of my personal diagnosis, post-traumatic stress disorder, I don't ever think it's okay to disclose that to a client, especially if they also have PTSD. In terms of trauma treatment and working in mental health and trauma, I think that is not okay. If I'm being extremely honest, I think at that point you are putting too much of yourself into the work and you turned the session around on you rather than put the focus on your client. A lot of times research has also shown that when you do disclose things like that, more serious things like that, clients feel a responsibility to their therapist. They don't want to trigger their therapist. They don't want to upset their therapist. And in a sense, they're almost like, I don't know, when a child has parents that are arguing, they do whatever they can to, you know, be less of a burden, right? And it is our job as therapists and social workers to create a safe and open space for our clients where they are able to be vulnerable and are able to heal. And I personally believe, and I think the research backs me up, that when we disclose things like that, like serious trauma, like having PTSD, it creates an environment that I don't think is necessarily safe and open and honest for our clients to heal in. I think at that point we turn into this very tricky space of us almost depending on our clients, right? They start to feel this responsibility of keeping us safe and not triggering us, and it's not their job to do that. So that that's a little bit of self-disclosure stuff. It might be a little controversial. Please, you know, give us your feedback. Let me know your thoughts on that. In terms of, I guess, if a client ever comes up to you and is just like, well, have you ever been depressed? Or, well, have you ever been raped? Or have you ever done cocaine? You know, like hardcore stuff. It's important in that moment not to be reactionary, because I think a lot of the times in that moment, we know at the end of the day, the client is not looking for a yes or no answer. They are looking for support, and they're looking to know that you support them and that you are an advocate and that you are a good worker for them and that you will help them through that process. I think in situations like that, something I've learned that a professor told us in class is it's important to, if you don't know what to say, to relate back to feelings and emotions. I do think it's okay to disclose emotions. Absolutely. One of my professors gave this great example about working in substance use and working in a substance use support group and having a member kind of call her out and be like, well, have you ever done drugs before? Have you ever done this and that? And of course, she's not going to disclose whether that happened to her or not. I know in substance use, a lot of this stuff is peer support, so it's a little bit different, but she was a professional. She was not there as a peer support, peer advocate. And her response was, I have felt pain. I have felt sadness. I have felt anger. And she kind of related back to all those emotions associated with substance use. You know, all these people have dealt with rocky family relationships. It's caused them stress. It's caused them all these range of emotions. And so she related it back to being able to identify and also share those emotions rather than share that experience, right? So we can create a space where clients feel vulnerable and honest and are able to heal and process without having to also go talk about our own personal experiences and trials. Because then, not only is our client having to process their own stuff, but then they're also having to process your stuff. And that's going to be with them every time they walk into the room. So I want to talk about self-disclosure before we really got into the nitty-gritty stuff of being a therapist and social worker with your own mental health concerns, working in mental health, working in social services, and what that looks like. So in terms of self-disclosure, please leave your thoughts in the comments wherever this is. Share, let us know what you think. I think it's a very interesting topic. Some people think it's a little controversial. I think it's pretty straightforward. One of the tenets of social work is do no harm. And beyond that, honestly, do good work. It's not just refrain from harm. It is be helpful, right? Be a resource. Be something that actually does good work. You know, not just don't do harm, but create positive change. And I think in that regard, there is a potential risk of harming our client and impeding on their progress and ability to heal when we create an environment that honestly low-key focuses on us and our own healing. If you feel the need to self-disclose, I think it's okay to self-disclose to some degree, not about your own mental health, you know, about your favorite color, about what you ate for dinner, things like that. Talk about your own interests. I know sometimes when I small talk with clients, we talk about, oh yeah, I went for a hike this weekend. It was great. It was fun. It was wonderful. How was your weekend? You know, I think at the end of the day, though, when it comes to self-disclosure, you always want to turn it back around to your client, and you never want to disclose anything that could be harmful or influential in the treatment process. With that being said, let's get into what it's like to be a social worker and therapist with your own mental health concerns. I will be the first one to say it, it's tricky. For me, it's also different. I do have an ability to compartmentalize, and I do think a lot of this has gotten significantly easier when I started going to therapy for myself. I think at that point, I was really starting to get into the field. I was practicing therapy at my internship in graduate school, and something just like struck me. And I was just like, it's time. It's really time to start therapy. It's really time to start this healing process for myself. I think, basically, I don't want to give, like, details about what occurred. But basically, this had happened the trauma that had occurred happened in November of 2017. And my graduate internship started in September 2020. So 2 years had passed and I was still being extremely affected by it. And I was exhibiting very strong symptoms of PTSD. And it really became a hindrance on my daily life and ability to live. And I noticed that in the work that I did. I definitely think my first semester was, for grad school, was more difficult. There was a lot of different things going on in my life, like a lot of different adjustments, right? But I think a lot of that did have to do with my own mental health and the fact that I thought I could just push it to the side and deal with it and work with my clients, and at the end of the day, I could just deal with my own stuff. And that's not how humans work. That's not how people are. And I think a lot of us know that, right? We're in the field. We have education. We know about psychology. We know about depression. We know about PTSD. We know about mental health. It's a lot harder when it comes to you and your personal experience. And that's when it gets very clouded. I will be completely honest with you and say that when I first started noticing the symptoms of PTSD, it was very early on. It was probably just a couple weeks, not even a couple weeks, shortly thereafter the event occurred. And for some wild idea, this was when I was an undergraduate. I was getting my bachelor's of social work. I was still in school. I hadn't even graduated with my BSW yet. And I was just like, you know what? I think at that point, I kind of accepted, yeah, I had trauma, but I wouldn't go so far as to diagnose myself with PTSD. First of all, because, you know, you don't want to diagnose yourself ever. Rule number one, don't do that. Always seek professional help, even if you think you've got it right, because our vision is always clouded, especially when it comes to a reflection of us and our experience. So I had this fantastic idea of putting myself through exposure therapy. You know, whatever that looked like. First of all, I wasn't at all able to do that, even let alone for myself, which was the most biased situation ever, obviously, for obvious reasons. And I tried to overcome my trauma by putting myself in situations that caused me to have anxiety and getting through it. And it did not work. Straight off the bat, I'm going to tell you right now, if anything, I just caused myself to have a lot more panic attacks. It probably worsened my experience. And so I'm going to tell you right now, if you are someone who is dealing with mental health, do not try to overcome it and get through it and heal, process, whatever, by yourself, just because you are also a social worker and therapist. No, no, no. That's not how it works. You know, we are a lot more complex than that. And it's just tricky. It's tricky. So anyways, I finally decided to go to therapy for myself. And I think that's when I really started to see a turnaround in my own personal behavior. And not just that, but my thinking process. My ability to relate to other people. My work ethic was just skyrocketing back to how it used to be. There was definitely this dip. And my productivity and my energy and my enthusiasm for the social work field. And I could see those things starting to come back. So it was definitely some crazy, awesome, positive changes that were happening in my life. And then I got my first client who I would be doing therapy with that was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm doing an intake session. And I'm sitting there and they're telling me their story that was incredibly similar to my personal experience. Now, we have coping skills for a reason, right? And I think in the moment, I don't know if other people also think this way, but I have just have this ability to prioritize, right? In that moment, it was not going to be beneficial for me to think about my own trauma. I was there for that client. It was all about them. It was them. It was their session. They were here because they had the courage to go seek treatment after years and years. And I was so proud of them. And I was there fully to support them, not for myself. So I almost like made a note of it. I made a note that, hey, This is bringing up some things for me. Let's think about it later. And then I put it in the back of my head. So after that client left, I called my partner on the phone and I just talked to them about what happened. Obviously, I did not break HIPAA, I did not do any of that stuff. I simply expressed what was difficult, what came up for me. And they were an immense support in letting me just talk about it, you know, process it verbally. So I think what was so difficult about that own experience is like transference and counter transference, right? I saw a lot of myself in this client. And what I will say is during treatment, there are a lot of things that come up where it almost feels like I'm talking to myself. You know, I think a lot of people with PTSD have similar thinking patterns, particularly with, you know, the reason behind PTSD, the event that led to that. People have similar events. I don't know, just maybe it's just with this particular person. And a lot of times I found myself as a therapist saying things to my client that I realized after the session I needed to hear for myself. So it's very strange because I do think there is this very good balance of you don't want to trigger yourself, right? You want to make sure your supervisor understands and knows about what's happening. And if you feel that it is really inflicting and potentially triggering for you to work with a client who's also dealing with a similar thing, then I would request to transfer that client and not work with them. First of all, not just because it's going to be harmful for you, but if that would impede the work that you do with that client in helping them, then that's not even an option. You know, if it's not really, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not about you. If you feel you would be triggered, being triggered in a session with a client is going to do harm to them and not help them. So if you feel that coming up for you, I would transfer that client, make sure your supervisor knows what's going on, and be able to process it and talk about it. If you're unable to transfer a client, supervision, number one, talk about it. And honestly, tied with number one is do your own therapy if you haven't already. And that's definitely also something to talk about with your therapist. Because it's important to talk about the things that trigger you. So that way you can cope with them better in the future. There was nothing about this client that triggered me. I didn't have flashbacks. I didn't have anything like that with this client. I think it was a very unique situation where working with this individual has helped in my own healing process. And for the reason I said before, a lot of the things that I've said to this person are things that I should have been saying to myself, things that I needed to say to myself. Now, I don't want anyone to get confused. I did not like say these things to my client because I needed to hear them. This client needed to hear those things. And it was after the session was over where I really started to process and self-reflect on how I practiced, how the session went, that I realized, hey, you know what? I had that same thought. And this is what I told them. And then I kind of just related it back to my own experience. And I was like, wow, you know, I was right. And that is something that has come up in my own therapy with my therapist was, you know, she knows I'm a social worker. She knows I'm a therapist. And she would ask me if you had a client who was dealing with this same thing that had these same thoughts as you, what would you tell them? And that did come up for me. And it's been something that I do think about because a lot of the self-talk I have is not stuff I would say to anybody. So why should it be stuff I say to myself? So I definitely, it's this beautiful mix of making sure that you and your client are safe, right? And getting the best treatment that they can get. And that if you are feeling triggered or it's difficult for you and your current mental health concerns to work with that client, I would recommend transferring them, talking to your supervisor about it, seeing what's going on there. I have not been in that situation yet. I have yet to be triggered by a client because I think I'm doing my own therapy and I just have this very strange ability to almost leave it at the door when I get to work, which may sound weird. Like, I think occasionally throughout the workday, maybe those thoughts come up for me, but I'm definitely able to prioritize my work and my clients above whatever's coming up for me. And I have that ability to kind of just file it away. And when I get home, then I'll think about it and process it. A lot of people are not like that, though. So if that happens for you, there's this balance of dealing with your own mental health and then working in mental health, working with people with mental health concerns, where it can be triggering, but it can also be incredibly healing. And that is what has happened for me. I was very worried. I think maybe that's what was coming up for me in my first session with him. Not that I was triggered by what he was saying, but I was worried about the future of what the therapeutic relationship between us would look like. Because as soon as we started talking about PTSD and those symptoms and his experience, some things went up in my head where I was like, be careful, Laura, be careful. You know, like, be careful about this, you know, just dealing with my own mental health and wanting to make sure I was providing the client and the person that came to seek treatment the best possible care that they deserved. If that is not a possibility for you to compartmentalize, prioritize, whatever, if you feel yourself getting triggered, do what you need to do. Take care of your mental health, because ultimately, if you neglect your mental health, you are also potentially harming your client and not giving them the best care that they deserve. In terms of healing, this work has been incredibly healing, and I did not anticipate that. I did not expect it. I was not sure what to expect, but it was not that. And so I think that's been a huge positive of this experience, where something that I immediately thought could potentially be very negative turns out to be more healing and also provide me an opportunity to have a lot more empathy with a client. So obviously with none of my clients, like we said before, self-disclosure, no. I have not disclosed with any of my clients anything about my own mental health, anything about my own trauma, anything like that at all, ever. However, I keep it in my mind because my personal experience allows me to have 1,000 times more empathy for the clients that I work with that have trauma. I remember in undergrad, before I had this experience happen, working with people who had been traumatized and working with people who had been through different traumatic events, and being able to have empathy for them and my heart breaking for them and having sympathy and putting myself in their shoes and just being like, ugh, because I am naturally an empath and an incredibly empathic individual. But then I had this traumatic event occur for me, and I started exhibiting post-traumatic stress disorder. Now when I work with clients, it is a level of empathy that I didn't think I could reach before, which is very surreal to me, because before I could empathize and I hurt for my clients. I was in pain for them and it motivated me to help them even more. But now it's just like I sit with my clients in session and I feel so much more supportive of them, and I feel like I truly, not truly understand their experience, because it's all different, right? All traumas are different, all feelings, everyone's personal experiences are all different, but it just allowed me to have so much more empathy that I didn't really know could happen, that existed within me, where I think at the end of the day, I've been able to express that empathy and those big volumes of empathy a lot better without self-disclosing. And I think I've just had even more compassion. Not that I wasn't compassionate before, but it's just been to this level that I didn't realize it could get to. I definitely, if you are a therapist and social worker in the fields working through your own stuff while also providing these services and supports to the people in our community and the people that you work with, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I'm not going to say it's not draining at all, especially when, you know, I'm currently building my caseload and it's just trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma, which I love. I want to be a trauma therapist. I want to work in trauma. But it's equally as important now that I engage in active self-care. And one of those things that I've personally talked about with my therapist is just creating that routine right? Making sure I have my own self-care routine. In the morning, I go for a run. At night, I journal. I do yoga. I deep breathe. I take a long shower to just honestly just scrub away all the crap from that day. Like, it's so, so important to take care of yourself. And I know it's something that everyone hears, but you need to listen to it. Like, you need to do it. You need to implement that practice into your daily life. And I think that's a huge part of social work is we tell our clients all these things, right? We're just like, oh, self-care, coping skills. You should go to therapy. You should do this. You should do that. Spend more time with your kids. Oh, make sure you go to this parent support group, blah, 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 blah. And we need to start practice what we're preaching. You know, we have the education. We have the know-how. We have the knowledge. We have the degrees. We have the licenses. So why don't we use them for ourselves? And I think that was a huge part for me is first being able to accept and acknowledge that I was struggling and that I needed a therapist. And two, following through and actually taking care of myself. Because we tell our clients to do that all the time. But are we doing it for ourselves? We know that it's good. It's like the nurse that smokes, right? You know, you go to the hospital, maybe you go to the emergency room for something, you know. And the nurse lets you know that she smokes too, blah, blah, blah. And you always think to yourself, what? But you're a nurse. What? That doesn't make any sense. What? And it's the same thing with social workers. It's the same thing with social workers and therapists. We're just like the nurse that smokes. You know, if we don't take care of ourselves, we truly are unable to fully, truly, 100% take care of our clients to the best of our ability. And I do not take that lightly because I think there's a lot of people out there that are just like, well, I can still do my job. I can still do this. I can still do that. That's cool. I know that you can, but can you do it to your absolute capacity, to the best of your ability? That's what I'm asking because we can all do our jobs, but can we do them well with the things that are going on in our life? That being said, I think it's equally important for social workers and therapists who do not have their own mental health concerns to still go to therapy, to still get support, to still have a self-care coping skill routine, because social work and working in mental health and being a therapist is hard work. You are exposed to trauma every single day. You are exposed to stressful situations, to aggression, to heartbreaking stuff every single day. There are many social workers and therapists who have mental health concerns and mental health diagnoses and have to see a therapist, who have PTSD and depression because of the work that we do. Okay, so there's three categories then. Three categories of social workers. The social workers who do not have a mental health diagnosis. Perhaps they get stressed, perhaps they get sad. They're able to cope with it, right? They don't need the extra support. There's the social workers and therapists that went into the work and were already dealing with a mental health concern, right? Perhaps they got into the work because of it. Perhaps it wasn't a part of why they started social work, why they wanted to pursue social work. It was just something that was in the background. And then there's the third category, social workers and therapists that develop a mental health concern because of the work that they do, because it's hard. I don't think a lot of people understand that. Burnout, compassion fatigue, all of that. We need to also remember secondary traumatization. We are exposed to trauma. We are exposed to vulnerable populations that see the worst of the world. That affects us because we are human. And a huge part of social work is also having empathy. So when you're an empathetic individual, it's even heavier. So please, please remember to take care of yourself. To start seeing a therapist before you even realize that you need one, honestly. And I say that honestly, because I do think I probably should have started therapy years ago. You know, I think now, wow, this is great. I should have done this a long, long time ago. And I didn't. And I regret that now. You know, because now we're dealing on some heavy stuff. But it's also just good to have someone to talk to. You know, and we all know that. We know what our clients tell us. We sit across from them and they say, it's just good. It's just good to talk to someone. It's just good to vent. just gotta get this off my chest. It's good to talk to someone that's not a family member or a friend or a coworker or a supervisor. It's good to talk to an unbiased third party. It's wonderful. So I really challenge you, social workers and therapists, mental health professionals, social service workers, wherever you fall on this whole spectrum of awesome people, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. If you are struggling, and even if you are not struggling with mental health concerns, go get help. We tell our clients that all the time. We do prevention work in the communities. We reach out. We do screenings. We do this and that. It's okay to accept help for yourself. It's okay to see your own therapist. It's okay to hash out and process things that have happened to you. Being a social worker, being a therapist, does not make you invincible to being a human. It does not make you able to bear all burdens and just deal with it. It's okay to get help, and I truly 100% really, really recommend that you do, because it is one of the best things that you could ever do for yourself and for your clients. Well, everyone, that is all. I hope you enjoyed the Thought Bubble podcast today. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere, at The Thought Bub. I also have my blog, thethoughtbubblepink.com, where I've been writing a little bit more consistency about social work, mental health, therapy, all these different things, social services. So please check that out. If you have any thoughts, anything about that, you want to generate some discussion, share, comment, do what you need to do, because that's the most important thing. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and that tomorrow you wake up refreshed, renewed, and ready to take on another day in the social work field. Thank you, everyone, for listening.